What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another installment of Crime and Wine. How are you today?
I'm here. It was a busy week. A very busy week.
Yeah, guys, as you all will see, we are a little late. I guess that goes to show us a busy week, huh?
Yes. It was a lot of shooting this week, and plus my regular like life and
shit. Life.
Yeah.
Regular life. I'm trying to think. I feel like I didn't do a whole lot. I don't think I did a whole lot this week. I went to Columbus.
What? That's so random.
Yeah, I went to Columbus. In all honesty, it was really just for like, I guess technically it was 2 days, but it was really just Saturday night because I came back Sunday.
I mean, I guess when you only 2 hours away, you could do that.
It was cool. It was cool. I mean, I had fun. I finally tasted what's it called? Plaza Azul, is that what it's called? That tequila?
No, I don't know. I don't drink
that one that's in that blue and white bottle.
I mean, I've had it before. I don't like tequila though.
I finally tasted it. I was like, wait a minute, this shit is good.
I'm not a big tequila drinker, but I have had that before.
I've learned. I hate Blanco tequila. I cannot stand Blanco tequila.
Oh, I learned that.
You know, normally that's what people drink, and that's what I would drink. And I'm like, this shit's gross. Like, why are we drinking this? And then the first time I had the Reposado, I said, wait, now this is a little better. And then I had the Añejo, I said, wait, now this is even better.
Mm-hmm.
So now I got to try the Cristalino, and then I think I would have had all the grades of tequila.
I've had all of them. I'm still not a tequila drinker, but I have certain ones I like better than others.
Well, speaking of tequila, what are you sipping on today?
So I don't know what this is. It's a French wine. What is it?
It's shaped like the old school Coke bottles.
It's Sarah Paulette.
No, I don't know what that is.
It's from Provence, France. It's a rosé. And apparently good for the environment, according to the sticker that is in front.
How is it good for the environment?
they're organic farmers, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, gosh.
There's a sticker in French that says it doesn't harm the environment, but I don't know how. I don't know the details. That's what the sticker says.
Because I need to know.
But it's a good rosé. It's not sweet. But it's not like vinegary dry either, which is sometimes a problem with rosés. It's a good, this is a good sipping rosé. It's a good balance. It's a good early spring introduction into my summer of rosé that I do every summer. I know y'all think of me doing this, but I'm going to keep doing it.
They can't be. That's why they keep coming back. They must enjoy it. And we truly appreciate you.
I'm gonna try to find rosés I didn't have last year. This is going to be an adventure. I might end up drinking wine out of a can. We'll see what.
Girl, that's how I feel about Chardonnay. I'm like, is there any more left?
I think I'm going to end up drinking the wine out of a can. I've been actively avoiding this because I just, it feels too close to alcoholism to me. But
what?
I just feel like I need a paper bag and I'm on.
Oh, God.
Like, it's just something about drinking that wine. I could drink anything else out of a can. I don't know why drinking wine out of a can makes me feel like an alcoholic. I don't know.
You know what? Next time I see you, I'm giving you a can of wine and a paper bag.
I guarantee that at least two people that I know that listen to this is going to do that. And I'm going to have so many of these. It's just going to be.
I'm going to crack it open for you too. And then just hand it.
And it's just wine. I can drink any other cocktail out of a can. I don't know why wine makes me feel like a drunkard.
Be wine in a can and then in a paper bag. Sounds like a good idea to me.
I just don't know why drinking wine out of a can makes me feel like a drunkard.
Okay. All right, well, what I'm drinking, it says the R Collection by Raven. Lot number three. That's legit. That's all that shit said.
When you said no, I'm laughing because when you said the R Collection, I thought R. Kelly. I'm about to say he got wine,
Oh no.
and then I was like, "Why are you drinking it?"
And then Raymond, you think Usher?
I didn't even hear Raymond because my head was still stuck on R. Kelly. I didn't even
Lot
hear Raymond.
number three is what it reads. I don't know if that's the name of the Chardonnay, but it's a Chardonnay from California.
I mean, that's probably literally the lot number that it came out of.
No, but there's no name. It's just our collection by Raymond, lot number three, Chardonnay, California. That's all
That's
there.
the name, R. Collection by Raymond. Raymond said his shit's so good, I ain't gotta name it.
Got an issue. Fuck the bullshit. All right. Well, what's on the agenda for today?
So, today we doing something a little bit different, right? Because some big cases that we've talked about have been wrapping up this week.
I just read one of them. I was like, oh, snap, we talking
So,
about this.
I figure we could do one update and one kind of recap slash update just because one's a lot and we can refresh the details. Okay. So, the first update we are going to talk about is Tim Norman. You remember him? Welcome to Soy Tippers. Well, Tim Norman was sentenced to life plus life in prison.
That was so sad. That
And
was so sad because he said, like, look, I do not feel comfortable around him, like straight up.
yeah.
Something ain't sitting right, and nobody listened to him.
Yeah. And his aunt, his mom. I don't, Ruby, the lady who was Sweetie Pie.
That's his mother.
Yeah, she was like begging for him to not go to jail and all these things. And it's just like,
So we just gonna ignore what he did? Is she talking about not go
what
to
that's
jail?
what that was my thing. Like, I'm just like, lady, but you was next.
Like, I'm
Like,
all for, you know what? Let me, I'm gonna leave that one alone.
I know it's a hard, it gotta be a hard place to be. Like,
Yes.
if we're being honest, it has to be a hard place to be because it's like, it's your son, but he's convicted of killing another one of your family members.
Your
And
nephew.
yeah, over. Like your business essentially too. So it's like you're kind of in a weird place in a lot of different ways. But yeah. I don't know. So I hope everybody gets what they deserve over there.
Hey, that was a way to say that.
I mean, this is my thing, right? I never say I wish everybody the best or the worst. I always say I wish you exactly what you deserve because I believe in you getting whatever your comeuppance may be. I have not wished you harm or well. I just wish that you get what you deserve. I leave that up to you and your version of Jesus.
Version of
I mean, everybody got their version of the Lord. I don't know. Your Lord may be a French fry. It is not for me to judge. All I
oh
say
my gosh.
is that it's up to you and your version of God.
Okay, well, I guess that's a nice way to put it. That's very, very true. It's up to you and whoever it is that you pray to or don't pray to.
Whoever is your North Star. You got that. So the next one, the meat and potatoes of the things with things, right?
Girl,
Let's jump back over here with the murders. And I know we had stopped talking about murders and whatnot, and it just so happened that both of these cases was murders, but it's because these stories was insane.
Yeah.
So, Alex Murdaugh. So this case has been going for a while. Like, you know,
Right.
it's been going, like 2021 is when it really like really hit the public spotlight, but it was going before then. I'm just gonna give a quick recap of what
Quick
he
update.
was,
Well, yeah, recap.
yeah, of like just what he was charged with, because this trial was so insane, and we can like talk about some of the antics of the trial, but this trial was insane. So he was accused of killing his family, his wife and son. He was an attorney, super wealthy, super powerful in South Carolina, you know, all of that. He was accused of killing his wife and son. He also was allegedly involved in illegal drug distribution, money laundering, theft, embezzlement, and perjury. He had an opioid addiction. He spent apparently $50,000 a week on drugs, which
Ooh, that's a lot.
a wild number when you like, how high was you trying to be? My edibles is
$50,000 a
$16.
week?
My edibles is $16. I spent $16 a week to be high.
Girl.
Or a week and a half, really, if being
That's
honest. But even 50,000,
a lot.
like you're spending a week with some people making a year. Like, how wild is that addiction?
Plenty of people don't even make in a year.
You're right. There's quite a few people who need a couple pay raises to even hit that, and you're
Right.
eating it on pills. That is insanity. So he also was accused of stealing millions from a deceased former. I wasn't trying to laugh, I swear. Something about the way this sentence is written just kind of made me chuckle. I am not laughing that the housekeeper is dead, I promise. But they wrote it the way this sentence is written. Murdaugh has also been accused of stealing millions from the family of his deceased former housekeeper and for trying to arrange a suicide for hire. Y'all couldn't separate that? Like, that is a very intense sentence. And
Wait, you
it's,
said arrange a suicide.
yeah, he was trying to arrange a suicide for hire to gain a $10 million life insurance policy.
Do you do a suicide for hire?
Because remember, he was trying to he was trying to get somebody to help him kill himself so that his remaining son could get all the insurance money.
No, I don't remember that part, Pinky, but okay.
Yeah. Oh, anybody who don't remember any of the
But
details,
why?
go back and listen to the other episode.
Why hire someone to do it? Like, you just do
Because
it.
he was pussy and couldn't do it himself.
Okay, I don't like the way this is going. Don't think I want to be part of that conversation anymore. Don't
Nah,
like
because he
that.
was a bitch. He just couldn't do it
I
himself.
don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like
No,
it.
I actually don't know why you would hire somebody to help you commit a suicide. Maybe so somebody can alert. Probably so somebody can alert somebody. So there's like an immediate alert and not like you gotta wait to find a body and then it prolongs the investigation and shit. That's probably why, honestly.
I guess.
So, you know, of course, the surviving son has severe like trauma and like mental health issues around all of this, and
Of course.
unfortunately, that's what kind of happens. Like the family kind of becomes collateral damage of these people's crimes. Like the, people
Yes.
don't really think about,
Yes.
and I mean, yes, I know this is a true crime podcast, but there's a specific reason why if family members aren't germane to the story, we don't bring them up, because it's like the last thing you want to do is Google your name and like a transcript of this show comes or any of these shows come up, and now you
Right.
have to relive
Relive
this
it.
trauma all over again. Like, the point of this is not to re-traumatize people. The point of this is really just to tell these stories in the most entertaining way we can when you're talking about crimes.
Right.
But it's definitely not to like re-traumatize, which is why when they're this, that's why we try to stay away from the really gruesome stuff and the, you know, all of that. Even though, yes, financial crimes can be devastating and we're aware, but yeah,
It's not quite the same.
it's a little different. And it's also with this case, even the first time around we talked about it was a little hard for me. And the whole reason is because the whole story is kind of centered on the fallout of this family. So you kind of can't help but involve the surviving family members, because literally the whole, like, all of this came out the fact that he had a drug addiction, which tears a family apart.
That's true.
And then it's like being that all this spiraled out of his drug addiction, really. And now it's like, now you got this 26-year-old who has lost his entire family in such a short span of time, but also has to live with the fact that his father is the reason that his
The
mother
one that
and
did
brother are not here, and the reason that he's in financial ruin. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's like a lot of layers in this case that made it kind of hard to talk about the first time. But also, while my heart goes out to the 26-year-old son, his name is everywhere on the internet. I'm just purposely not saying it. But while my heart goes out to him, I couldn't be happier about the outcome of this, because this motherfucker is the prime example of he got exactly what he deserved. You know what I'm saying? So I'll come off my soapbox now. Sorry. It's just, that's something I think about a lot, though, with doing this show. I think about the potential of somebody who was traumatized by the actual event stumbling on it and becoming re-traumatized. I do think about that a lot. I also be high a lot, but
Oh, Lord.
maybe they're coordinating. I don't know.
Okay.
All right. So now we're gonna come up to where we at now. Y'all can get, again, go back and listen to the other episode if you really, really, really want the details. So his murder trial started January 25th of this year. After all,
January 25th?
yes,
That was over fast. Shit.
it was. They was like, get this nigga out of here. They was done. They said, listen, we trying to get the bingo, bitch. We're not doing this.
Sheesh, that was real fast.
So when the opening statements, lead prosecutor said the authorities have GPS information from his smart devices that contradicted his alibi.
Gosh.
And a cell phone video that placed him at the house at the time of the murder.
Cell phone video.
According to the authorities, a video Paul took, the son that was killed, took at 8:45 p.m., picked up his dad, his voice, the voice of both his parents at the property dog kennels. Although Murdaugh first said he wasn't nowhere near the kennels, and then he was like, psych, y'all, I be lying.
Not psych.
What? He was like, yeah, I was over there. You know, I just be lying sometimes. It just
Not psych.
it be fun. What?
Okay.
So on the 26th, they showed footage of his deceased family, and he sat there wiping away tears, pretending to be weepy like he didn't kill him.
Oh, the what's his name? His name Alex, right?
Yeah. He's just sitting there, just And it's like, bro, you did this. What are we doing? But on the 27th, the police said it wasn't no blood on his clothes. So like, how he do that when he was it wasn't no blood on him?
I mean, that can happen. You don't have to get blood on you for you to be the perpetrator.
So then we get to January 31st. Yes,
Okay.
I am going moment by moment in this trial because this trial was insane. Alex Murdaugh allegedly, we have to say allegedly,
Okay.
allegedly said, I did him so bad when he was shown photos of his son that was dead.
I did him so bad. Okay.
So, a police officer testified that when he was brought into questioning days after Maggie and Paul were murdered, they claimed during the interview he got really emotional and made the statement, it was so bad, I did him so bad when the photos of his dead son were put in front of him. Then he allegedly started to cry and said, he's such a good boy too. But we have to say allegedly, because only one person is he say. Nobody else was there, so you know.
So is he saying that he did not say that?
He's not saying anything. They ain't let him talk. You think they about to let him talk? On February 1st, we almost at the end, y'all. So on February 1st, details are revealed about Maggie Murdaugh's phone. It shows that the usage on her phone the night of her murder, both before and after she died, which is like, who using her phone after she died? At
Yeah,
7:50 p.m., she made a phone call that lasted 3 minutes. But then she also allegedly sent, well, it obviously wasn't her because she was dead. But
right.
it's like there was also text messages sent to a friend that night as she was headed to the property. Like she sent this before she got there, saying that it was something fishy about her husband's behavior. Then there was she, you know, made the phone call, sent that text because she was like, something off, something don't look right. Then she didn't use the phone again. And at 9:06, which is after it's believed that she was already dead, the phone camera activated for a second. Like somebody moved it. And you know how sometimes when you like pick up smartphones, you'll go to move it, but you'll turn something on because your palm will hit the screen a little too hard. That's what that thing happened. Like somebody went to move her phone and actually turned the camera on and off real fast. So the camera activated in the background, and they was trying to analyze it to see if they could see if somebody's face would unlock it. Like it was like the person was taking the phone, like holding it up, you know, trying to get the face ID to work. Which is like, why, dummy? You just killed it. Why would you try to use your face ID, you fucking idiot? Like, it's. So, in the subsequent hour, he called his wife's phone 3 times and then sent her a text that said, call me, babe.
So this was his way of trying to cover his tracks.
He was trying to establish an alibi.
Gotcha.
That's why he said he wasn't over there at the kennels.
Gotta think that through, dude. Gotta think that through, homie.
Then they also show footage of him in two different outfits the night of the murder. Because he just changed clothes at some random point for no reason, literally no reason. He just decided, you know what? They've seen this new look.
Well, you know, some people like to, you know, outfit changes, wardrobe change, you know. I gotta be cute again.
So apparently there was a Snapchat video of him wearing khakis and a blue button down about an hour before the murders. But when he talked to the police that night, he had on a t-shirt and shorts.
I mean, maybe he just decided, you know, a little hot.
Maybe he was like, this is too formal for the police department. Let's put away the good chinos.
People get home and they take their clothes off.
And pull out the shorts, you know. So then on February 6th, a caregiver testified that he attempted to influence her. This lady take care of his mother. And she testified that he went to his mama's house for 15 to 20 minutes on the night of the murder, but instructed her to say that he was there for 30 to 40 minutes and tried to, like, influence that she said 30 to 40 instead of 15 to 20 if somebody asked. Mm-hmm. But it's like, who will be asking if you ain't do shit? Like,
that's true.
Because why would I care? Yourself, homie. You tell literally them. Wouldn't care if you ain't do nothing. Because the way I don't be like, if somebody asked, I was at work for 8 hours, because nobody gives a fuck where I be at. Like, right. No one cares. With the exception of my 3-year-old, nobody gives a fuck where I be at. Because I also ain't doing nothing. Like, it's just... So... They said that, you know, he went to his mama's house to further create this alibi to make it make sense that he done called her 3 fucking times in an hour. Talking about call me back. But, you know, even if she can't call you back.
Girl.
Like, what we doing? But then she also said he was fidgety. No, but the wife did say he was acting funny. She was like something. That's why she was calling her friend. Because she was saying something about his behavior was off. The caregiver is like, this nigga's acting, he moving funny. What's happening? Like, everybody thought he was being weird, but nobody knew why he was being weird. Mm-hmm. So then the next day, his former law colleague testified that he was stealing from the law firm. Because remember, the embezzlement charges are still in there. Company checks. The whole crime spree,
just put it all together.
He did a lot. He did a lot. He said, yeah. I wrote all the crimes. I am a crime aficionado. All the crimes are happening right here.
I'm not aficionado.
But he was writing company checks to clients and depositing his... in an account that he opened in the client's name, Tom Girardi. Just saying, it's kind of what they do, right? So up until February 7th, this was a normal trial.
Okay.
Then we get to February 8th. And somebody called in a bomb threat to the courthouse.
Really?
So they had to dismiss the jurors for a break. Put the trial in recess to discover what was going on. He was taken from the building, but to a different exit. The family was evacuated. The whole thing, right? So now this is. That was February 8th, so they, like, literally was in recess for, like, a week. Because they went back February 15th.
So this trial could have been over even faster.
It could have. They was in recess for a week trying to make sure it wasn't a credible threat. The shit went off the rails. Like, I was like, I don't know who's writing this script, but y'all getting out of hand. Like, it's... So February 15th, his sister-in-law testified that they had a real strange conversation immediately after the deaths of his family.
Hold on, wait a minute. So he didn't went and call his sister-in-law?
Yeah.
After he just killed her sister?
And she was like, he ain't really seen that focus on trying to figure out, like, who did it. He just wanted to kind of shoot the shit. Like, it's like, what's happening? She was like, yeah, we never talked about, like, trying to find the person who did this. She was like, it was so odd. Mm-hmm. He said his number one goal was clearing Paul's name for talking about his his son's role in that boating accident in 2019 that the girl died in. We talked about it another. He said that was his number one goal to clear his name, but it's like your whole family just got cute, wouldn't. Okay. All right. So then February 16th, his attorneys got up there and basically said his cousin did it.
I'm sorry, what?
His attorney stood
Does
up.
he and his cousin look alike? I'm confused.
His attorney stood up and suggested that his cousin Curtis Eddie Griffin.
Eddie Griffin.
That's hilarious to me. Could have
Okay.
been the one involved with the murders, you know, citing his involvement in supplying Murdaugh with drugs. He basically was like, I mean, he's a drug dealer. Murder's just the next step. Like his he, I mean, he also was a, because this cousin was the one that was giving him the drugs, but also was the one he caught up with this suicide for hire bullshit.
What's this cousin's name?
Curtis Eddie Griffin.
Curtis. Curtis with a K or a C? Is he
With
fancy or
the
no?
C, are you trying to
Yeah. I put in Curtis Eddie Smith popped up.
Eddie was a nickname, so Curtis Griffin. I don't know why his nickname was Eddie. That's weird to me, because his name was Curtis. Why not Kurt? It's right there. Like
Funny
it's.
thing is, when I put that whole thing in, Eddie Griffin comes up.
The comedian?
Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of what I figured would happen. But Bassett was like, I mean, he'd be selling drugs and he was willing to be part of a suicide for hire. Like, literally, next step is he kill people. Duh.
Duh.
I mean, that's basically what they said.
Oh, his name not Eddie Griffin, girl.
I'm literally looking
It's
right here.
Curtis Eddie Smith.
No, it this they got Griffin as his last name here. They fucked up his name.
Girl, they was looking at the comedian too.
They fucked up his name because I'm literally, unless it auto corrected to Eddie Griffin, that is
That would be funny.
hilarious if that happened. Because I'm literally reading this and nobody caught this. Oh, y'all need better editors, baby, because I'm reading from a news site and it's like. I ain't gonna say who because the editor missed something. Now I don't want to get nobody in trouble. But y'all need better editors. So, but also by doing this, the whole reason they did this whole, well, it was probably him because you know he'd be selling him drugs and shit, is because they really wanted to get information about, they wanted to be able to talk about the suicide for hire and shit like that to cast doubt on this man's testimony. And the judge had already ruled it inadmissible, but because he brought it up in the cross-examination, he then made it part of
Open the
the
door.
trial because now it's like, well, why would this be like, why would you suspect him? And you know, he done brought it up. So now this now makes it admissible into the trial, which then casts doubt on his testimony and also further strengthens the cousin did it theory that you're trying to sell people. So it was very, very intentional. So on February 21st, Buster Murdaugh took the stand.
Buster, is that the other son?
He recalled when his father called to tell him what happened. He said he sounded odd. And because he said his dad called, sound odd. His dad said, are you sitting down? And then he said, your mother and brother's been shot. And that's just how he said it. He said his state of mind when he saw him that day, he looked heartbroken and destroyed. But he then also said that, you know, his mother and brother had talked to him before about his talked to his father about his drug use, and they was he was saying that his dad was taking up to 60 pills a day. And they thought they had it handled because his daddy went to rehab in 2018, but obviously not. And then, you know, he was dismissed from the stand and he went, he walked by his father, he squeezed his dad's hand and then went and sat. So then we get to February 23rd, and Alex Murdaugh gets on the stand in his own defense, which is
Most
literally
lawyers
the
will say,
worst
don't do that.
thing ever. Literally the worst thing ever. Like, it's so bad. Like, I don't know, especially if you actually are guilty, or you're guilty of enough shit that we wouldn't believe that you're not guilty of this too. You know what
Right.
I'm saying? Like,
Hell yeah. Yeah, this doesn't sound like the best idea.
so he got up there and he's crying and he said, "I didn't shoot my wife and my son. Would never intentionally do anything to hurt either one of them. Not ever. Never, no way. It ain't me."
Ain't no way, ain't no how.
But then he also admitted to lying to the police. He said he lied about the information he told them. He lied to his family about the details of the day of the deaths. He said he wasn't nowhere near the estate, but then on the stand, he, this is what he said, because why just state what you gotta say when there's drama to be had, right? He said, "What a tangle web we weave.
Oh my gosh.
Once I told a lie, then I told my family, and I had to keep lying."
He's on the stand and saying this.
Yes.
What makes him think that this is a good idea?
It was attributed, he attributed to paranoia induced by his long-term drug use. And then he finished that sentence by saying, "I lied about being down there, and I'm so sorry I did that."
If I was his lawyer, I'd be like, nigga, you've got to be kidding me. The I been here for then? I would be so pissed if I was his lawyer.
So the next day he get back on the stand, it's 2 days. So he detailed his drug use, saying he took 2,000 milligrams of painkillers a day, and that he had a pocket full of pills the night he talked to the police on the night of the murders. That's my favorite. He said that Paul had confronted him a month before his murder about the pills that Maggie found in his computer bag.
I'm
It
sorry, this wind is going crazy.
is. Here
It
too.
is singing out here.
So on February 28th, Alex Murdaugh's brother was on the stand and he started crying as he talked about cleaning up his nephew's remains, which is a wild
Why would he be cleaning
thing.
that up? What the hell? Now, granted, I do know that when the whole thing happens, they will come and get the body. This is gonna sound gross and gruesome, but the body and anybody parts, and they
Yeah.
won't clean up blood. I do know that.
Right.
But he had to like do something with the body itself. That's
No. He was cleaning up the blood, but there was also like brains and tissue.
Oh,
Like,
oh my
he cleaned
gosh.
up that stuff. A piece of his skull was left there.
Oh,
And he's like, "Yeah, that was absolutely the hardest thing I've ever had
hell
to do in my
yeah.
life."
I'm gonna have
Like,
to wait for the rain to just do that because I can't.
it's in the house.
Oh, never mind. I'm gonna have to move, hire somebody because
Or in
I.
the kennel. It was, I guess it was in the kennel, actually.
Oh, I feel bad for him. I couldn't imagine having that task. Sheesh.
He said when he say brains, he was like, it could just be tissue. I don't know. It was just
Yeah.
awful. And
I'm not a biologist. I don't know.
He was like, I don't know what I was looking at. I just know it was terrible. And this shit was just the fucking worst. And that's all I can say. So, because it was like the next day he went there because he talked to my law enforcement. They said he can go in. They said they got what they needed, you know, what have you. So he went there and he said he was just so shocked to still see like the blood and tissue and the skull pieces and shit there that he kind of just started cleaning. And in the cleaning, that's when he vowed to find his nephew's killer. Because he said, as he's cleaning up what was left of his nephew, he's telling his nephew he loves him and, you know, he's gonna find who did it. So, oh, one part I also didn't say about Alex's testimony is that he said, yes, we talked about that. He said he lied because he was paranoid from extended drug use. That is a very light way of saying what he said. What he said was, I lied to the police because I was in an opioid blackout and I don't remember anything that was said because of years of prolonged opioid use. An opioid blackout.
I ain't never heard that one before. Well, I mean, I've heard plenty of blackouts. I've heard of that. I've never specifically heard opioid blackout.
So March 1st, what, 2 days ago now at
Two
this
days
point?
ago. Yep, 2 days ago.
The jury went to the crime scene.
Shit.
Yeah. After the testimony concluded, the jury went to visit the home where their bodies were. And they spent about an hour at the house examining the areas where the crime took place, which is, oh, I just imagine the therapy you need after being a juror on a case like this.
Girl,
Because this shit would be in my nightmares. Like, the
listen.
way I would never sleep, like,
Now, no lie. I know that's I'm not gonna necessarily completely get into everything, but what the hell happened last year?
yeah.
And those it was two individuals. I cannot to this day get their voices out of my head.
Same.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. So I could only imagine having to actually go there and see it.
Right,
Look,
right. So, March 2nd of 2023, Alex Murdaugh is found guilty of murdering his wife and son. After deliberating for less than 3 hours,
Yep, that was fast. That shit, they wasn't fucking around.
they found him guilty of the murders of his wife, Maggie, and son, Paul. The defendant slightly rocked his head back and forth as the guilty verdicts were read. They said the senior assistant deputy attorney general, which is such a long fucking title.
That was long as
That's
shit.
a long ass title. The way I would never, but don't, I know he ain't got no nameplate, because how the fuck you get that on there? Like,
It's
that
all
is so
acronym.
long. But
That is long
he
as shit.
said that he want to thank the jurors for their service and the justice they delivered to Richard Alexander Murdaugh's own today.
Got it.
So he also said, this is what was said to the press after, which I just think this is just such a funny thing to say. Alex Murdaugh tried one last con to prevent the accountability that he has never had to face in his life.
Oh my.
But the jury saw through that and properly found he murdered his wife and son in cold blood. Like that, you ain't have to read him like that.
And that was it was one of these kind of reads.
You did not have to read him in that
shape,
manner, because what are we doing? Like, why did you have to read him like that?
No.
You ain't, come on, bro. The accountability he's never had in his life. Ooh.
Well, has he had accountability in his life? Because if not, I don't see anything wrong with the statement.
That's he basically said, fuck you, fuck Mobb Deep, fuck Biggie, fuck Bad Boy as a staff
record label and as a motherfucking crew.
So on March 3rd, on today of them things, Alex Murdaugh sentenced to 2 life sentences in prison.
How did he get sentenced so fast?
So that fast. Shit,
like this whole thing, this whole thing happened like in it took forever to start, but once that shit started, they was like
the way this. Everybody was like, I'm so sick of his shit. Like they
that's what it seems
I like. Have never seen justice move this swiftly. We be in the courts for a smooth 5 years. This girl. Motherfucker was there for 2 months. Not even 2 months.
Girl, they
was
like a month and a week. This went by fast. They was like,
that's why I read it day by day, because I wanted y'all to understand just how quickly this happened. This shit started January 23rd of this year. He was sentenced done. Today.
It was done on the 3rd. Done. Not just done as in the verdict, done as in the sentencing.
But they running consecutively. I mean, it's still life, so it don't really. And once you get life, I mean, fuck, you can give them 50, run them all, because bitch, you still gonna die. Like, it's.
I mean, and depending on how old you are, it ain't even gotta be life. It should, you know.
That's what I'm saying, but it's like, because I know some people was pissed that these sentences are consecutive. Conservative. Some people was pissed that they consecutive, but I'm like, what you want me to do? Lock his ghost up, bitch? Casper can't stay in jail. The foot, like, why we gotta do it? Like, why? What do you want me to do?
Let's be straight up. Let's be straight up. I'm 36. I'm going ahead and saying it. I know it's two weeks shy of, but whatever. I'm 36, nigga. If I'm sentenced to 50 years, bitch, I'm dying in there. This might as well have been a life sentence at this point.
Because prison is gonna age you, and you was already gonna get out of 86. You're not making it. You're like, never gonna see the next iPhone. It's never gonna happen.
Not the next iPhone.
Girl, I mean, Alex Murdaugh is not young, and also is like a newly sober person. How long do you think he really gonna make?
That's also
it?
True.
Like,
because then going
he's
in
not
there,
a young man.
Going in there, it's not abnormal for him to even develop the habit again.
That's what I'm saying. But he also, so before handing down the ruling, the judge said, it might not have been you. It might have been the monster you became. When you take 20, 40, 50, 60 opioid pills, maybe you become another person. But it's like, you taking 50, 60 pills a day, what's going to happen once you get in there? Like, then what? Because I can't imagine a world where you come off 60 pills a day and you good.
Can't be. Cannot be.
Like, literally, how would it? There's no fucking way. Even, and it's not even like he's been in jail, right? But all this happened so quickly that at this point, he probably just really coming out of detox.
That's true.
So he ain't even really been like sober. He just not getting over being sick.
Yeah, because you do get sick. I'm feeling sorry. I mean, I feel sorry for people when I see them going through detox. I'm like, damn, it got to suck.
So it's like, I can't even say that he really knows the full scope of what this means at this point. Because he was arrested in what, June or something like that? Like,
Oh, last year, 23, I mean 22.
no, a 21, I think. I don't remember. Maybe I should go back and listen to the old episode. But I can't remember if it was 21 or 22, but it was recent because I remember like when I first heard about the case and nobody really knew what was happening, like nothing made sense, which has been the running thing. There's apparently a Netflix documentary or HBO Max documentary about it that's up, that's like streaming now. I didn't know that until maybe 40 minutes ago, but it because I ain't been home to watch TV, so I didn't know. But it's like, y'all got that shit up fast as fuck.
Of
Because
course.
I mean, I say that as somebody who's already done an episode on this case, yes, this shit got, but it was like, because once the information started coming out, it came out fast and a lot, but it was so confusing.
This trial, this case is bananas. I ain't gonna hold you. This.
I'm halfway tempted to watch this documentary just to kind of, because you know, sometimes when you hear the story from the cops and the reporters and the, you know, like actual journalists, not two niggas on the internet that just
We're
talking.
niggas on the internet.
I mean, what are we? We ain't
Me the
journalists.
two niggas on.
We the two niggas on the internet talking shit. We ain't journalists. Hell, we don't even be, we be stuttering this shit most of the fucking time. We not.
Girl, that one day, I'm like, nigga, I can't read today. What the fuck?
It's like it sometimes it's interesting to hear these stories, especially when you hear them. That like what I was saying a couple weeks ago about Cody Easterday, and kind of like we can tell the story, but we're not there. So sometimes when you hear the story from the reporters that's like there and like in it comes a little different. So yeah, it also from real reporters because again, we just niggas on the internet.
Shut up. All right. Well, y'all, thank you so much for listening to us. This is just really crazy how fast that this whole thing happened.
It happened
But
so quickly. Like
again.
we went from arrest to conviction in like light speed.
Yeah, it was fast. It was fast. But again, thank you so much, guys, for listening to us. We truly appreciate it. We've been here for a while, and we really, really appreciate all of our very, very loyal friends and fans, as well as our new fans. Remember, go ahead and tell someone about this podcast. Like it, comment, make sure we pop up at this top when you go to search Crime Podcast, Crime and Wine. And with that being said, we will see you guys next week. Peace out.
Bye.